with us today. He's chosen for his scripture, Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. Very long verse. You want to look it up for yourself? Exodus 14, 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for us. Let's kneel as we pray. Father, we thank you so very much for the beautiful Sabbath day that you have given us. Each Sabbath reminds us that you are the Creator. We thank you that we are able to come here free, and we know that that is a privilege that someday will be taken away from us, that many through the centuries have not had that privilege, and we thank you that we do. We pray for your Spirit to come and to fill each one of us. May we listen and through Jeff hear your words spoken to us. We pray for those that are not here for whatever reason, that you will be with them also, whether they're sick or discouraged, whether they're traveling, whatever they may be, Lord. We pray that you will bless them and give them a Sabbath day blessing also. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for the things that we have done wrong this week. Some of us have had a real battle of it, and you know this weakness that we have, and we pray for your strength each and every day. Now be with us as we worship you today. May we praise Jesus, and may we go from here singing his praises to those that we meet this week. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. My name is Jeff Jackson. I am the principal, and I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet of Earth because I get to work with amazing students. You said that your church offering goes to the local church budget to help keep the lights on, and that's true, but it does another thing. In fact, 5 days a week, your church budget helps fund an Adventist school. And your church budget helps make sure that students are prepared for things on this earth and are educated, and that's worth money. But it also helps, hopefully, make sure that they hear about Jesus 5 days a week for 7.5 hours minimum every day, and that's priceless. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when our churches and our schools and our families can work together to constantly point kids to Jesus. It's a model that when it was thought of, I don't think they knew what it would look like 100 years later. I think they'd be excited about what it would look like 100 years later. Because it's kind of an impossible mission to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build schools all over the world. If you said that 100 years ago, I think people would say, well, that sounds great, but how on earth are we going to do that? But God does that, right? And the crazy thing is God uses us to be able to make those things happen. And so this morning, as I'm standing here, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being dedicated to the mission of the church, but also to Adventist education. I want to say over and over again, it is the most profound thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. The greatest gift my parents gave me was Adventist education. It's that cut and dry, and so I want to be dedicated to that for the rest of my life because it's such a huge thing. And so if it's okay with you, I'd love to give you a kind of an education corner moment here so you can hear some of the things that are happening at the school because I'm not sure that what all that you guys have heard. But over spring break, it was really, really exciting. We had a group of students that went to Washington, D.C. We had a group of one student that went to Washington, D.C. That was great. And so we had a mission trip there. And that was awesome. Yeah, a group of one. And it was super, super cool. And then we had a group of 21 students who traveled to the complete opposite side of the globe, if you were to look at the globe, and that's India. We traveled all the way around the world. It was 41 hours of traveling, actually, if you were counting, and I was. It was 41 hours. It was hard to count because time changed multiple times. It was 12 and a half hours ahead of us, I think, behind us, something about 12 and a half hours. And so we took a bus to San Francisco. We took a flight to Qatar. We took a flight to India and then took another five-hour bus ride and arrived there. We took 21 students. 21 students said, spring break is great, but you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather go travel somewhere. I'd rather go serve other people. We had 21 people who said, this is a great idea. Let's travel to India and give up our spring break. I was part of the team that kind of helped prayerfully make these plans. And I remember sitting in those meetings, there were about five of us, and we'd say, what are we going to do with 21 high school students for 40 hours of traveling? What if they turn on each other? What if they turn on us? What are we going to do? And we said, boy, I don't know, but I don't know how else to do this. And so we prayed and we thought, they were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. In fact, I did not hear a single complaint by anybody under the age of 40. Not a single complaint. They were excited. They were excited for everything that was happening. And we had nice flights and everything went really well. And going through customs, all those things is absolutely insane. You get to some other countries and they say, hey, take this. I mean, you can't quite understand what they're saying, but they say, go through this line. And you get to the end of that line. They said, no, that's the wrong line. You need to go over there. And so there were multiple times where we marched physically all the way out of the airport, walked around to a different door, and they'd take us into another place, only to be told, not this place. You need to go back from whence you came. And the students just did it. They just did it. It was crazy. And in fact, when we got done, the whole thing was great. So the school there holds about 220 students total. Their goal is 1,000. Their goal is 1,000. They want to have 1,000 students at their school. Right now at that school, all food is cooked over two open flames. This is a boarding school, so we're talking three meals a day, 7 days a week, over 200 kids. It's a little fireplace out of mud inside of a building, a little shack with a hole in the ceiling so that the smoke can come out. Unless it's raining, then they cover that, and the whole place just fills with smoke. The walls are completely black, and we would say, the cook's lungs must look exactly the same. There were two of those. Recognizing that seems impossible to cook for that many people that way, if you're going to say 1,000 kids, that's even more impossible. And so we partnered with Maranatha. We flew over there. We were the third team that was going to be there. The first team built about four classrooms. The next team built laid brick to be able to build the building that's going to have showers, because right now a lot of it is pumping the water and the kids stand under it. And then we were able to build a cafeteria, like a big cafeteria. That's going to be places to sit and a full kitchen, a full kitchen. And in fact, some of that's training for the cook to learn how to use a stove, because we love that cook. And we're not trying to say, hey, now we're going to bring... We love that cook, and we want that cook to be able to stay, and so there'll be some training for that. And we're actually raising some funds. We donated $1,500 while we were there, but for $15,000, we can buy commercial-grade equipment. And so as a school, we're saying, we're raising a zero. We're taking that $1,500, we're going to make it $15,000. That was the students. They were like, we got to get the best stuff for these people. And building that was awesome. The best part by miles was connecting with kids. It was connecting with kids. We played cricket with them. What on earth is that? It was so fun. They don't speak a whole lot of English. We speak very little of what they were saying. And so being explained how to play some really unique game was such an adventure. We did a vacation Bible school. We're not supposed to do a whole lot based on their prime minister right now. We're not supposed to do very much talking about Jesus. And so it was vacation health school. And we made it about halfway through the first day of meeting with them and kind of threw that out the window. We talked about Jesus. We prayed with the kids. We sang the songs. We have to do it. We have to do it. That's the point of us being there. And it's an Adventist school, but it was still, there's this thing of people from outside the country coming into their country to do things. There's a lot of not supposed to do that, but God was good to us. We were able to build that. We finished those walls. In fact, when they saw us walk in, the Maranatha team thought, if they could get halfway done, we'd be pretty impressed. Crushed it. We did the whole thing. The students were amazing. And in India, like 6.5 hours is kind of a full day. We were put in like 12-hour days because we were like, no, we're here to work. We're here to work. We also had a health team go over, and specifically they worked with the students because there's about 220, 250 students that hadn't seen a doctor possibly in their lives. And so going through that process with them and their staff was absolutely awesome. So we had those three things, health. We had our vacation Bible school where our students really got to connect with their students, and then we were also able to build that building. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. And when we got back, we had student week of prayer. And on the very first day of student week of prayer, we had our high school students talk to our other high school students about what it meant to go on that mission trip. And one of the students said this, "I believe this is the first time in my life that I've ever done something that had nothing to do with me. It's the first time I've done anything in my life that was all about other people." And they went on to say, "It was the greatest experience of my life. I want to do this more." We work on community service. We do these sorts of things. But the truth is we still have some stuff in us, right? We still have some stuff in us. And some of our stuff in us is like, boy, just 2 more hours and then I'm free and then I can go home and I can do the things that I want to do. This was 2 weeks of just what's next. What are you going to throw at us? And we were put in nice places. We were not roughing it. Like, we couldn't drink the water. That part's true. But we were put in a nice hotel each night. We had showers. We put mouthwash in our mouths before we went in the shower so that we kept our mouth closed because you didn't want the water in your mouth. But it was clean water. We were in nice places. But the whole time we were there, we got to be an army of people saying, what can we do for other people? And when you do that, the Holy Spirit, I believe, gives you a feeling that you will get nowhere else. It's the greatest feeling on this world. And when you get that feeling, all you want is more, right? That's a human thing anyways. Boy, ice cream tastes good. I wish I had more, right? Boy, a fast car is nice. I wish I had a faster car. Oh boy, a big house is nice. I wish I had a bigger house. We're naturally wanting more, and we seem to send that in the wrong direction, but there's a correct direction too. Man, I feel the Spirit. I want more. Man, I'm helping others. I want to do that more. That's the mission that we've been called by God for all of us who are believers in Jesus. That's the fundamental calling that we've been asked for. And one of the things that the Adventist Church does better than I think anybody else is that we do schools and churches and hospitals. Schools, churches, and hospitals. We have an outreach like nobody else. And it's worldwide. It's absolutely phenomenal. So I want to start this morning just by saying thank you to you for your dedication to the church, to Adventism, to Adventist education. We have the opportunity to connect kids to Jesus, which will change the trajectory of this world, but it will change their eternity. You can't put a price on that. It's such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. Also going on at the school, we had the Jackson County Sheriff, came, and they do something called pit maneuvers, where they come up behind cars and they spin them out. I don't know if you've seen some videos like that. Well, it turns out they practice those things. And the sheriff's department came to us and said, hey, we are going to get together some of our new cars. We're replacing our current cars. And so, which means we'll replace our vehicles that we're testing. And we need you to weld a front bumper and a back bumper. Would that be something that you could do? They showed us some pictures. And we have no welding at the school prior to that. That was a couple months ago. But the most fun thing to do in the world is say yes. Would you be willing to do that? Man, that would be so cool. Of course we'd be willing to do that. Sounds lovely. And right afterwards, I made some phone calls to some welders in our community and said, hey, would you be able to help us with this? And the first 4 people I called said, you can't do it. You're going to have to get some more training. There's no way that you guys are going to be able to do that. That was the first one, so I called the next one, But the fifth one said, sounds fun. Let's try it. And I was like, you're the one. You're in. It looked fairly ominous for quite some time, and I can safely say that last Tuesday, the sheriffs came and picked up their Crown Victoria with a huge new steel bumper in the front and the back. In May, our four students who have now become master welders get to go out there. They signed their paperwork, and hopefully they get to ride in that car and get spun out by the police. How fun is that? Yeah, those are going to be memories. Our school wants to be a place where the things that students are interested in, we can make sure that we have to offer. The welding, those four students, and we're offering it to more people now, but those four, they love it. They absolutely love it. They've done so good. They came in on Sundays. We had a Monday off. They came in Monday. They worked about 8 hours on two Sundays and about 6 hours on a Monday on top of their normal class time because they wanted to get it done. That's the dedication that our students have to being able to accomplish their missions. We have videography and photography this year, intro to psychology. Next year, we'll be offering digital marketing. We have a student who just graduated from Walla Walla. She has her business and marketing degree. She's going to be here doing some business work in our community, and she graduated from Rogue Valley Adventist Academy, and she said, I'd love to give back. I'd love to teach it. And so a digital marketing where our entire school, all the Facebook and Instagram and whatever all those things are, our students can have a class and be in charge of setting that up at the school there so that they can learn how to market things. And I look up here and I saw at the beginning where we do series at our churches, and we know that marketing is a big deal. Marketing is a big deal. And so we'd love to have a group of students that could be working with our churches to help make those things really, really successful. We want to get better and better at giving back. There are so many incredible things going on, 3D printers and laser engravers. The students are getting really, really good with that. A whole Mac lab. Our 7th and 8th graders are about to finish building an electric go-kart. And so that's been really, really cool. It was totally gas-powered. They took it all apart. They're building it back together, and they're learning how to put together an electric engine. And that might even get finished by the end of the school year. We're thinking it's going to be able to make it. And so you guys can come out and see it zooming around the track up there. If we hook up all three batteries, I think it goes like 45 miles per hour, which is terrifying. So we'll try to hook up not all three, but we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. And last Thursday, we had a big Oregon Trail history thing. I got to see some amazing families out there for that, and it was so fun when we get to all be together. That's the pieces that I want to make sure that you guys see, because I know that sometimes we have multiple churches, and the communication, we got to get better and better and better at making sure that you know the exciting things that are going on there, because without our team all working together, that's impossible. That's impossible. And some of that's financial, and that part's real. But I'd say way more than that is prayer. Prayer is the game changer. Prayer is the absolute game changer. So I want to say thank you to you for your dedication. Thank you to you for saying, man, we're going to make sure that we have this school here for our community. Our ultimate mission as that school, what we've said all year as a staff is, we want to have it so that this community says, thank goodness Rogue Valley Adventist Academy exists. And that comes through finding ways to give back, finding ways to serve. And we're not there, right? That's a journey, and it's going to get better and better and better, but it's one of those things we want to work on as a whole staff. So I just want to say thank you to that. I'd love to have a word of prayer, and then we can jump into the word here. Dear God, we are here this morning with all sorts of emotions in our hearts and on our minds. We all have different things that we're dealing with individually, things that people know about, some things people don't know about, but you know about all of it. And the amazing thing about you is that you start to solve our problems before we're even wise enough to stress out about them because we don't even know they exist yet. So this morning, as it's a Sabbath, it's a day of rest, we thank you for that gift, a day that you set aside where we can put away all the other things going on, rest in you. So as we spend time together as your family, as your chosen people, as the people that you've called, God, we just ask that you bless us here. We ask that you bless anything that we talk about to be for your honor and your glory. We thank you for the amazing miracles you continue to work here for your honor and glory. We give it all to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was little, I might have told the story. I did a bad job of writing down which churches I've said different things at. So if you've heard it, just pretend like you haven't. It'll be perfect. I grew up in West Virginia. And you know, when you think back of your childhood, there are some stories that stick in your head a lot, right? There are some stories that stick in your head. And maybe they weren't great when they happened, but then you say, man, that was memorable. That was really fun. This is one of those stories. It was a Sabbath afternoon. I was hanging over at my grandparents' house. My family was over there, and we lived relatively close to each other. My grandpa owned a lot of land, and he would do developments. He'd put in neighborhoods and things like that. And so we were living in one of those neighborhoods, and he had a house over here that was kind of by itself, and it had like a dirt path around a pond, a man-made pond, to be able to get all the water to run there. And then it could go to my house, right? And I was probably 6, 7, 8, I don't know, somewhere in those ages. And he had kind of built that road because he said, anytime you want to come see me, I want to make sure you have a path to be able to get to me. And I grew up with four-wheelers and all sorts of things, so I could ride those things, and that was great. But my grandpa was a little bit older, and four-wheelers weren't his jam, and so he had a golf cart. And the golf cart was like the old-school one where it's a three-wheeler. It's a three-wheeler. It's the Harley Davidson old school one. So it had, like, if I'm in the driver's seat with the gas pedal, it's got a weird handle over here, like a big metal hoop thing, and that's just straight down to the front wheel, and you're just turning the front wheel when you want to turn. It was the coolest. It was the coolest. I had a four-wheeler, and in hindsight, four-wheeler seems cooler, but because it was my grandpa's, it was like the coolest, right? And so it was a Saturday afternoon. And my dad and I were over there. My whole family were over there. And I think that there was something that we wanted to get. Back in the olden days, like Tonka toys, so my grandpa had tons of heavy machinery, right? That was his whole thing, his backhoes and all those sorts of things. And I had just gotten one that was, like, in the olden days, they made things out of metal. It was crazy. They made things out of metal. And so I had this new metal, probably front loader or something that I was using to play in. And we were over there Sabbath afternoon. We came home from church. We had lunch. Then I was like, oh, man, Grandpa, you got to see this cool thing. It's just like yours. Only way smaller. But it's just like yours. And he was like, oh, go get it. And so my dad and I got in the golf cart because I was still pretty young then. And so they let me drive the golf cart, but usually only if somebody else is in there. I don't know why four-wheelers were okay to drive since I was like three, but golf cart. But anyways, so I'm cruising over in this thing. We drive through that dirt, around the pond, blah, 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 up around the hill. We pick it up. We jump back in from our house. We're driving back, and along the path, it's like this long straight stretch before you get to the pond. We could see like a mound or something out in the distance. And we're like, man, what is that? So we keep on cruising on up to it. We get closer, and we stop. And I'm looking at it, and I was like, what is this thing? It's a big, big mound of something. It was a turtle. Now, in West Virginia, there's turtles everywhere. They're box turtles. And I grew up thinking they were called box turtles because we'd catch them and put them in boxes. But it's not. It's because a box turtle can actually close. Like, normal turtles can go in. But box turtles, once they go in, they close up. Their bottom part comes up and closes. Who knew? I actually told that story once, and somebody's like, dude, I got to tell you what a box turtle is. Like, oh, thank you. So we had caught them all the time. Like, all the time we'd catch those turtles, play with them for a couple days, and then just release them and all those things. We saw this thing, and I was like, that is the biggest turtle I've ever seen in my life. And my dad said, that's awesome. We should put it in the golf cart and take it so that everybody else could see it, right? And I'm like, that is a great idea, Dad. Grab it. And he's like, son, you grab it. And I'm like, Dad, I don't think so. And he's like, he gave you one of those looks. If you're a male, sometimes your dad gives you this look like, be a man. It's not always in words. It's that look that he gives you when you're younger. And it's like, oh, man. Yeah, I'll get it. And so I get out of the golf cart, and I walk over to it, and I'm getting closer. I'm like, well, what do I do? Like, it's kind of looking at me. And he said, go around to the back of it, tap it with your shoe. It'll go into its shell. We're good. Then you pick it up, and you bring it back over here. Now, that thing had to, like, at 6, there's 0% chance I'm picking this turtle up. But we didn't think that part through. So, like, if its head's there, I sneak around to the back of this turtle. my little self, and I start to put my foot out, and I'm shaking, but I'm trying to look manly, and I'm shaking, and right before I got to its shell, this turtle jumped in the air, spun around, stuck out its neck, and made the loudest chomp I've ever heard in my entire life. I proceeded to spin and run as fast as humanly possible in the other direction, kind of hoping deep in my heart that that turtle would attack my dad for putting me up to this thing. So I'm running down. I'm running away. I'm like, what in the world just happened? I've played with turtles ever since I can remember. This turtle is, if you remember the 90s or in the 80s, there were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's what this was. I was confident this is exactly what that thing was. And so we ran away. I don't know everything that happened, but I do know that we got back. I think I ran all the way to my grandpa's house. Like, I'm not even stopping. That's a crazy turtle. My dad drove over there, and we started to talk about it. And my grandpa said, "Oh, that's a snapping turtle. Yeah, you don't want to mess with those." And actually, since we don't want to mess with those, we did. We drove back, and we were giving it, like, sticks. My sister, she's 4 years older than me. She remembers this better because I called her and asked her. She said, "Do you remember that sound? We'd stick the stick out, and it would just snap that stick, break it just so quickly." She was like, "Yeah, that thing was terrifying." And I'm thinking, my dad tried to have my leg bit off. What in the world is going on? And here's the deal. In this world, we are surrounded by great people, people that God loves, people that God has chosen, but ultimately, we're people. We're people. We need to go to people and ask for advice. That part's true. We need to get as much. I still call my dad for advice, even though there was a time he lit me on fire. There was a time he had to have my leg bit off by a turtle. I could go on and on and on. I still say, "Hey, Dad, I got this thing coming up. What do you think I should do?" But stories like that do help me know that that's just a piece of advice, right? Because we're human. But the amazing thing that we have is the ultimate cheat code. We have a direct connection to Jesus. It's called the Spirit. The Spirit is our direct connection. And so as a church, sometimes we do things where we come together in board meetings and we do all sorts of, and we talk and we vote and we do all sorts of things. And that's great because that's how our model is set up. And I believe that was part of God's plan to have our models be set up that way. It's worked really, really well, right? We've had some good times and some bad times, but big picture, our church and our schools and our hospitals are moving in such a good direction where we're able to serve and help others that we can't help but say, God's done amazing things. But I don't know that it's those committees, right? I think that somehow we pray, God, give us wisdom. And the Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask for it. That's straightforward. Oh, you need wisdom? Ask for it. That's it, right? And so that's a beautiful thing. If we need wisdom, we can ask for it. That doesn't mean that we just sit there and make decisions in a vacuum. We don't ask other people. We still have to ask. Even, like I said, my dad, my grandpa, when he was alive, he was one of the first people that I called. I've had lots of superintendents, but two that have really been impactful for my life. I still call them anytime I have a decision. My fifth to seventh grade teacher, fully retired, still call him every time I have a big decision, right? He gives me advice zero times. Zero times. He asks a bunch of questions, and then he says, "Let's have prayer." That's his advice. He's giving me advice 0% of the time. He'll tell a story every once in a while, but it's just nice to hear from him. It's just nice to connect. God puts people on our lives that can have a profound impact on us. We want to ask for their advice. We want to connect with them, but ultimately, we want to be moved by God. He gave us the most important power, the greatest superpower ever in the world, and it's called choice, right? And if you watch superhero things, which I really don't, but if you were, they say, with great power comes great responsibility. That's real. The ultimate power of choice, there's nothing that causes more responsibility needed than choice. We have to have great responsibility when it comes to our choice. I want to read a story. I want to cruise through this story. And the problem with the Bible can be that if you're raised an Adventist, which I was, or raised a Christian, you've heard these stories 35 trillion times. And you're like, "Dude, I know that one. It's the Red Sea. Good. What else you got for me?" But But those stories are crazy, crazy, crazy powerful. And the thing that I've discovered in life is, depending upon what my circumstances are, different parts of the story will stick in my heart. That's the power of the Bible. That's the power of the Bible. Sometimes I've heard people say it's like an onion. You can peel it off and there's multiple layers. That's a good one, but I really don't like onions. And so, like, that's not a great one for me. But it is true like that. You can peel it off and you get more and more stuff. And so I want to read that part to you. It's a lot like Exodus 14, 14, but we'll get kind of a run-up to it. So Exodus chapter 14, verse 5, starting there. And again, if you're like, dude, I know this story, ride along anyways. Connect it to what's going on in your life. I guarantee that God has insight from his word for each of us. That's something we can guarantee. That's something we can guarantee. So let's jump into this. And the first bit we do know, it says this. We can get a small running start. There was like these Egyptians, and they enslaved the Israelites, and some of that has to do with people being sold into slavery from way before that and all that fun stuff. And now they've been some plagues, and they told a small lie, at least the way I read it. They say, hey, can we go into the wilderness for like 2 weeks to worship God, and then we'll come back. I don't remember that being part of the plan, so we can have a whole sermon about lying some other time with your other pastor. That'd be perfect. But in this case, they've been released. And God basically told them, walk that way. I have a promised land, walk towards it, right? From what I remember of the story, at least up to this, and I just read a whole bunch from before this, basically their last instructions were from God were walk. Walk. Go that way. Walk to the promised land. So that's what they've been doing. They've been walking, right? And at this particular point, they've been walking, and they've come to pretty much a stop, and they've come to a stop because the directions were walk, but there's a Red Sea in front of them. And the directions weren't build a boat, the directions weren't swim, the directions were walk, and they've come to the Red Sea, right? So that's about where we're at. But at the same time, while they're coming to the Red Sea, and they're getting there, they forget that there's a whole, or they don't know yet, that there's a whole army of Egyptians that are about to come for them. That's verse 5, Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites were not planning to return to Egypt after 3 days, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all these slaves get away, they asked. So Pharaoh called out his troops and led the chase in his chariot. Now, if you study like history, Pharaoh doesn't lead the troops in the army very often. In fact, we don't have very many, maybe like Genghis Khan, possibly. But other than that, in history, the people in charge don't lead the charge. They stay sometimes at home, but if nothing else, in the back, right? The people in charge don't lead the charge. Pharaoh's got some anger, though. He wants to see the look on their face, it sounds like. And so he's leading the charge. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with the commander. The Lord continued to strengthen Pharaoh's resolve, and he chased the people of Israel who had escaped so defiantly. That's pretty crazy, too, right? Jesus continued. Sometimes, boy, I know that there are times where I pray, like, I know something must happen, and so I pray for God to give me strength to have that happen. And when I look back, I say, was that? I don't know that God gave me strength to make that happen, but I should have been praying, God, is this what you actually want me to do? I don't know if Pharaoh was in that same place. Like, I must get them. God's help me. And God said, well, I'm the only God, so all right, I'll strengthen your resolve. We don't know how that stuff went. We also know in the Old Testament, God's in charge of everything, right? God did this, God did this, God did this. There's no Satan caused this to happen. It's just God nonstop. Verse 9, all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all the horses, chariots, and charioteers were used in the chase. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near that one place across from Baal Zephon, it looks like. So they came to the water, they stopped there, and they did what we do. They said, what in the world, God? You asked me to walk, and I walked, and now I ran into water, right? What in the world, God? You asked me to give this money, but now I'm out of money. What on earth is that supposed to be? God, you asked me to give of all my time to be able to help these people, but now I'm exhausted. Now I'm cranky. What in the world? You asked me to do this. You asked me to go for a walk, but now I found a small problem. There's a pond. There's a Red Sea in my way. There's a whatever else. Plug that into your life. There's a whatever that's happening that's causing this to not work out the way I thought you were telling this to work. But now it gets worse. As Pharaoh and his army approached, the people of Israel could see them in the distance marching towards them. They thought they had a big problem. There was a Red Sea in front of them. But it turns out that was small fries. Because the real problem is that there's a bunch of people coming. Sometimes we come to these problems and we say, man, my life is impossible. And then something way, way worse happens. Then we say, whoa, 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 now it's impossible. Right? And first of all, that can be fine. It can be impossible. But remember, God loves impossible. It's his favorite. As soon as we say this is impossible, it releases him to do his thing. It's a recognition that I can't do this. And God says, thank you. I've been waiting like 6 months for you to recognize that. Now watch this. Now watch this. It's a quick thing. One of the things I pray for, honestly pray, like, God, help me to see the impossible sooner. Help me to recognize that this is impossible. Because as humans, it's like, I can do this. I can powerfully. I'll just work harder. I'll just do more. But it's important for us to recognize this is impossible without God. The people began to panic. And the beauty is, it says next, they cried out to the Lord for help. They do remember where their help comes from. Now, we can cry out in different ways. Dear God, we trust you. We know, or what have you done to us, right? Both of those are crying out to God. I think God's a big enough God to be able to handle that. One of the things that we say to our high school students is, be honest with God, because lying is, it's futile. If I'm your, as the principal, I'd love for you to tell me the truth, but if I think you did something, you can lie to me and I may not catch you, right? Maybe you'll get, but with God, it's futile. He already knows. And that's a great thing. That's a release thing. I might as well be completely honest with God because he already knows. We might as well be honest and scream out what we're really feeling like, right? When somebody comes and says, hey, I just need you to do one more thing at work, and you're like, oh, thank you. I'll be glad to. But inside you're like, are you kidding me? What have you done all day? We can kind of do that thing with each other, and I don't even know what's right and wrong in that, because we don't want to always be, yeah, whatever. We won't go down that way. But with God, we can be completely honest. It's such a liberating thing. To be able to have somebody that you can just tell the honest truth to. God, I'm really angry right now. Inside of me, I'm really upset. Help me. Help me with that. And he says, thank you. I'm on it. I'm on it. Verse 11, then they turned to Moses and complained. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you leave us? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we were still in Egypt? Our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness. So they might have cried out to God, but then they instantly found a scapegoat. They found a human to blame. I can relate. I think we can relate, right? We say, God, this is a... But then we find somebody to cast our emotions on, because it makes us feel a little bit better if we can blame somebody else. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. The most stated scripture in the whole Bible, don't be afraid. Right? If you can get anything out of the Bible, it's every time an angel appeared to a human, their first sentence was, don't be afraid. Because when we see an angel, I think it does something to us, and it makes us say, oh my word, all those things that I thought I am nothing. And the angel says, don't be afraid, I'm only here to help. The God in heaven loves you. And I'm here to help, right? It's a beautiful thing when we realize we have an army of angels here to protect us and help us accomplish his missions. Don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. The Egyptians that you see today will never be seen again. And here we go. The Lord himself will fight for you. You won't have to lift a finger in your defense. That's what God is telling us this morning. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know what everybody's going through. I know a little bit of the things that I'm stressed out about. And I think what God is saying this morning is, it's Sabbath. Take a rest. Don't lift a finger. I've got this. And, And he says that, but I want to make sure that you read the very next sentence, because if we end there, then it's like, sweet, I'm going to go sit on my couch for the rest of the day, maybe the next 3 weeks, because God is going to do all of my work for me. But that's not what happens here. This is Moses said, hey, watch God do a miracle. Chill out. It's not going to be you. It's going to be him. But the very next sentence says, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. And the part that comes away from that is God saying, what did I tell you to do like a week ago? I told you to walk. You stopped walking. I didn't stop you from walking. You stopped walking. Remember, your original mission was walk that direction, but you found water and said, oh, humph, we better sit here for a while and camp for a couple days because we ran into water. And God's saying, whoa, 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 I asked you a long time ago to just walk that way. I didn't ask you to do anything spectacular. Just walk. Just walk. Go back to the basics of what I set up for you to do. You guys stopped doing it. He says, use your shepherd's staff, hold it out over the water, and a path will open up before you through the sea. Then all the people of Israel will walk through on dry land, yet I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow the Israelites into the sea. Then I will receive great glory at the expense of Pharaoh and his armies, chariots and charioteers. When I'm finished with Pharaoh and his army, all of Egypt will know I have things that I want God to do right now. I have things that are stressing me out. I have things that I know should happen. I'm pretty sure should happen. I have an opinion should happen. But remember, God works on a whole different level. Because I want that whole school to be a light for this whole community. I really, really do. And that's real. And I think that that's a fine passion to have. But God's saying, I got a whole world. In fact, I got galaxies that are watching what happens there on the planet of Earth. And I have a mission for all of them to see my glory. And so what we're talking about for our church here, for this church to be able to do great things, God's 100% on board with that. This is God's church. That is God's school. But he's bigger than that, right? He's so much bigger than that, that when he does things here, they can be for the honor and glory of for people to see him all around the world. It's an incredible thing. And then the other piece is that God's, I think when I read that part, just those couple sentences, God's saying, get back to the basics. What did I ask you to do? You derailed yourself by thinking. You derailed yourself by, I told you to walk that way. You were walking that way. You saw water. And so you set up camp. But what I really wanted you to do when you came to that water and say, God, we came to water. You asked us to walk. We want to walk. How are we going to keep on walking? And if we were to do that, we could have parted the Red Sea, we could have crossed the Red Sea, we could have closed it, and Egypt couldn't even, they maybe never even got to us in the first place because we weren't camping there. But because we didn't do that, maybe then God might have had to even change some things, because God does change some things. He does. He's an amazing God. So I can make terrible decisions for the next 15 years. That's not God's plan. But then 15 years from now, I could say, God, I'm so sorry. I want to serve you right now. And he says, new plans, got to figure it out. Old school GPSs, right? When you set them up, those big ones, I guess your phone kind of does it, but not the same way as the dramatic ones that you used to set in your car. And it would say, like, turn right, and you're far in the left lane, you can't do it. And then it says, rerouting. Yeah, that's a good one. I think God's so much better than that. But he's willing. He's able to make things work because he gave us the power of choice. I got to tell you one quick story. I know somebody that took one of those GPS things and then drove onto a ferry. You should try that. Get one of the old GPS things and then drive onto a ferry and have the ferry go out into the water with that. It doesn't like it. It can't quite figure out what on earth could be possibly happening. It thinks you just drove into the Puget Sound. I highly recommend trying those things out. God refuses to give up. God refuses to give up. He's always going to come up with more plans. And his plans will get bigger as we get more connected to him. And his plans will get more finite as we need them to get more finite. In Sabbath school, I think it concluded, the one that was in here, it concluded with, basically, we need to get back to our fundamentals of, it's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about heaven. And there are a trillion ways to derail that. There's so many ways where we can get, but Adventism stands for that, or this, or that, or oh, this. There's so many ways. We got to get back to the fundamentals. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. Heaven's our home. It's our entire purpose to make sure we get as many people there as possible. But while we do that, let's continue to be a light to people around us. Let's continue to lead by example. Let's continue to be spirit-filled. Let's continue to do whatever it is that God asks us to do. If he says walk, let's find a way to walk until he tells us to do something else, not till we see something that gets scary and we can't do it anymore. Let's have the faith to say, I'm going to keep doing what you asked me to do until you tell me stop. I'm going to call people for advice. I'm going to get people's prayer. I'm going to get a circle of prayer around. I'm going to get people that are prayer warriors to make sure that we're continuing to do the right thing. But I'm going to do it until Jesus tells me not to. And as soon as he does, even if it doesn't make sense, I'm going to make sure that happens. I was about 22 when I fully said, God, 100% you. Now, I'd love to say that I've lived that way ever. It's not. We're still humans. We make all sorts of weird things. But I've known God forever. I've been trained in Adventism and in Christianity forever. I knew those things, but it wasn't until I was like 22 where I fully said, God, all that stuff that I'm stressed about, all that stuff that I put in front of you, I don't care. I truly don't care about it anymore. It's all you. And I can say from that point forward, not that everything's been great. That's not the point at all. From that point forward, it's been the greatest adventure of anything I could ever imagine. The more impossible things than I could ever possibly fathom, and then God coming through, right? I mean, we can think of the beginning of this school year. By, like, second week of school, they're like, oh, by the way, we don't have water. Like, our well is dry. And I'm thinking, it's a school. You have to have water. What do you mean you don't have water? Oh, yeah, we don't have water, but we're going to dig a well. It's like, cool. Let's see the budget. Oh, no, we don't have money for it, but we got to do it because we got to have water. It's like, well, I'm with you to some extent, but what is happening? And then fast forward, whatever, 6 months, and we have dug, I think, 3 new wells. And we were donated. We had a donation. I was sitting in chapel, and I get a text of like, hey, come down to the office. And I was like, it's chapel. I don't leave chapel. Like, I tell the kids to sit quietly and pay. I'm going to lead by example. I don't leave. And they're like, no, you will want to come down here. And so I was like, fine. So I come down there, and there's a couple people sitting in my office, and they're like, hey, we heard about your well stuff. I want to make sure that that's not the stressor that's on you. You need to be focused on these kids. Here you go. They hand me an envelope, and then they left. I was like, okay. Open up, $75,000. What the world? I don't even fathom what that number of money could possibly be. That's God. It's just straight God. Now that's not like, yay, now there's plenty more things going on and all those things, but it's one of those reminders that God says, I'm always with you. Just keep walking. Whatever path I asked you to do, do that path. I got your back. I'm going before you. I'm going behind you. I'm going with you. All those things. And that's the same plan that he has for every single one of us. It will never be boring to be on God's adventure. It'll be the opposite. It'll be sometimes a little bit too much. And you say, whoa. And God's like, I just asked you to keep walking. I'll take care of everything else. God goes behind him in a cloud that makes a fire. He does all sorts of stuff. And then it becomes world famous. It becomes world famous. The whole world now knows the God of the Israelites. Same God we serve. Don't get bogged down, and I've already heard that story. I know that it happens. We serve the exact same God that caused that story to happen. Whatever's going on in our lives, we're going to give that to him. We're going to give that to him. I'm just so thankful to be able to be a part of God's plans, to be able to work with youth, to be able to meet new people at churches, to be a part of a worldwide organization to lead people to Jesus. Yeah, it's absolutely, It's absolutely phenomenal. We want to go the extra mile, even if it means through water. We want to go the extra mile, and God's going to empower us to be able to do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear God, we again just want to say thank you to you. As we recognize you as the God of everything, all of our worries and all of our stresses, they have a tendency to melt away. So we want to get better at that. We want to get better at just recognizing you and seeing you as the answer to our problems. God, while we're doing that, some of that's got a lot of I in it. We want to be better at that, but we want to be used by you to serve others. We want to be used by you to teach others about you, because ultimately we want to spend eternity in heaven, and we want heaven to be filled. So God, whatever that looks like, whether that's through series of meetings, we just want to be used by you for that. My passion is Adventist education, and so we ask for you to just pour out blessings on that, on each one of those students. We want to pray on their behalf. If they're not praying, we want to intercede on their behalf so that they can feel you there with them all the time, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the mission that you've put on their hearts, on each of these members. And it's a great thing when diverse people come together for one common goal is you. So God, as we continue our Sabbath, we just ask for amazing rest. We ask for peace that passeth understanding. What a beautiful thing that could be, and that's a miracle too. So we give the rest of this time to you, and we ask that you power us for an amazing week of being able to connect with people. We thank you for being an amazing God, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.